from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reginald Adetula.
Yes, indeed, you are indeed in the loop on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Adetula, hanging out with you for one more hour before we hand it over to The Drive with Sterner and Hughley, those fine fellas coming up. Not too long, but real quick before we get there, Inspired by the Astros being killers, what team always ripped your heart out of your chest? 713-572-4610. And as I mentioned, it's inspired by the Astros because they got a big-time win last night, and it's a win that you could really only put on the idea that, hey, man, they just don't go away. They don't give up. And for the last 8 years, they have just been a team that the rest of the MLB just – that they would hate or they would love to see go away.
The Astros are the team that we used to, and we all have those teams that we just despised, but somewhere deep inside we had a ton of respect for them, because the Astros are now that team. I was watching this was a replay of like there's this Red Sox stream where there's like 15 people on, you know, all the little different screens on there, and they're watching the game together or whatever. We've seen it. It's like a Zoom, you know, but people just kind of watching Astros and Red Sox, and it was a Red Sox stream.
Okay.
As soon as Diaz hit that home run, it was so funny. They just went black, blank, blank.
Oh, everybody,
they all just started
just
dropping.
Closed their laptops.
Just dropping off. And finally, there was one dude there with this blank look on his face, just like staring at the screen. It was like 15 or 16, and it was like, whang, and you can see that, you know, in the corner you see the Astros Red Sox game, and then all these dudes were standing there, and they just all started clicking off
in a game that I'm sure if you're a Red Sox fan, you're
guys.
Like, we absolutely need to, like, we gotta win this.
Yeah, they were like,
it's gotta be ours.
Hate the Astros.
And no, four errors can't stop the Astros.
Yes, and that's what got me thinking. I said, I'll be damned, the Astros are that team. They're just you know, I mentioned it to you guys earlier, they're stone cold killers, and they are hated not anymore because of the cheating or Altuve, because they're so damn good. And they rip your heart out of your chest.
There's still people.
That's what they did yesterday.
Cheating,
no, I get that. but,
or at least that's what they say.
Yeah. No, I get it. And that's why Altuve still, I get all that. But I'm saying what really frustrates people is like, damn it, Astros did it again. You know?
All right. Real quick question here, because I know obviously we set up one for the segment itself, but.
Yeah.
Do you think that people would care still about the scandal in 17 if the Astros were out of their window of being killers?
No, heck no. Right?
I don't think so,
heck
man.
No.
Because, shoot, you got people like the White Sox fans that still talking about it. It's like, they ain't had nothing to do with y'all. Y'all were sorry.
Y'all just like, hating over there.
Yeah, I understand.
Why you hating from outside the club is what Figgy just said.
Look, I understand if it was the Dodgers or the Yankees who could have been affected by it, but Whiteside, what are y'all doing?
Yeah.
And Jordan Alexander on the YouTube says, hey, do we know what Jordan told Yainer?
You were talking about it earlier.
And they were talking about it on the Space City Home Network right immediately after that. Apparently, Jordan said just like, be careful about the timing, right? Obviously, you can, you know, kind of do a lot of things. You can be in your head at the plate and be worried about a lot of various things. He's like, just worry about timing. Time it up.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he did, and sent it into the stands to get a 5-4 walk-off victory for the Astros. But when it comes to teams, oh, yes. Oh, no. I was about to say,
four errors from the 713. They're like five errors. Don't forget about Joe Espada's decision to pull Yusei Kikuchi in six.
I didn't really have a big problem.
They ended
that.
Up it ended up working out okay for them, I guess.
Yeah,
but yeah.
So I go. Let me go back. I had my high school team.
Yes.
When I was in high school, the team that just consistently ripped out my heart out of my chest. But I did have some respect for them, obviously, even though I never admitted it. The first one was those Lakers team. Kareem, Magic, Worthy.
Sure.
I mean, you know, and just every time they would just like, oh, we think we might get them this year. No, you're not. No, you're not. And the other one was the 78, 79 and beyond, but 78, 79 in particular, Pittsburgh Steelers, because that's when I fell in love with the Houston Oilers when I was in high school. And Pastorini and obviously Earl and the whole team and every time. It was only maybe the greatest football dynasty in the history of football dynasties before the Patriots. You know, they were one of the greatest teams ever. But I was like,
who was the head coach then for the Steelers?
Oh, it's their only head coach at that point, right? Chuck Knoll? Yeah.
And guess how many head coaches they had since then?
Three. Two.
Yeah, no, I'm about to say you and Ash one.
Yeah. Cower and Tomlin.
Yeah, they've had three head coaches.
That's wild, man. That blows my mind.
In the history of their existence.
That's got to be the job to get, because you know that there's going to be a trust and belief. Now, of course, I wonder how much of that is, well, you managed to get the good ones. But yeah. Still, right? There's got to be a trust and belief in what they do there. But as we talk about teams that rip your heart out, you mentioned one of them that came in on the text line from the 832, the Patriots, when they were good.
Patriots, like, and Chiefs more recently.
Because they just kept their in. Mm-hmm. I know that some of this is just like, yeah, of course, the great teams in the league are going to do that to you. But the Patriots just kept doing it in ways that, like, you looked around and you're like, they shouldn't do this. Or, like, especially with me, I ended up being one of the many people that was like, oh, Tom Brady, it's washed now.
Oh, right? How many times did I say that?
Yeah, here we go. It's about, here comes the decline.
Yeah.
Nope.
What, yeah. 5 years later, he's still going.
Still doing it, right?
A lot of this on the text board, and Figgy, you mentioned this, Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They just get irritated, man. Especially being here and how the Rockets pretty much had them, and they just came back and won, man.
Yeah. Chris Paul injury away.
Oh, man.
And I think, especially because that really tainted the way that era of the Houston Rockets were viewed, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, look, there was things that the Rockets themselves and James Harden himself probably did to taint the perception of that era. But if you find a little bit of success and you're not being stonewalled by, you know, a dominant generational kind of team there, the conversation is just a little bit different.
Yeah. And the worst part about it is, if let's say the Rockets did win that series, a lot of people felt confident that the Rockets would have won the championship.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. What about you?
See, my answer is Rockets involved, but it's back when I was like a young buck in Houston watching Rockets.
Yeah.
Well, actually, a young buck watching Rockets basketball, because I think I was out of Houston at that is the particular point that I'm thinking about, which is that it's the Utah Jazz. And it's not the Utah Jazz in like the late 90s. Mm-hmm. It's the Utah Jazz in the mid-aughts.
Yeah.
When you got like Mehmet Okor messing you up and getting in the way, because it's especially upsetting, because a lot of the teams that we talked about here are like undeniable great teams, like teams that you would, you know, that you would induct into a Hall of Fame as a team, right? Mm-hmm. That would tell the story of the sport. The 2007 Utah Jazz are not that.
But right? They ripped
the 2008
your heart out.
Utah Jazz are not that.
Mm-hmm.
Just constantly.
Who was on that roster? You got it up
the
there?
The 2007 and two. Okay, let me get that for you specifically, because like I definitely remember the Met Okor. That's a name that's also fun to say while also being deeply annoying. Was that, I think Darren Williams might have still been there.
Oh yeah,
at that point. Let me see if I could pull this up.
Yeah.
We got the likes of Derek Fisher was on one of those teams, and Derek Fisher was a whole level, another level.
He was his own pull your heart out of your chest.
Right.
Guy.
Oh, I still can't believe they allowed him to get away with the shot that he supposedly got off in 0.4 seconds. I refuse to believe it to this day. Andre Kirilenko.
Oh, Kirilenko.
Yeah. AK-47.
Oh, wow. You can't say that anymore. You're going to get canceled.
Yeah. Like all them cats. Carlos Boozer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sick
pretty good squad, to be honest.
I mean, just, not a bad squad, but I'm not going to admit that. It was annoying. Being a team that honestly, like, should have been able to at least make a little noise in the West in the first round back to back years.
Yeah.
That was very frustrating. The Utah Jazz, never leave for me, and especially because I rock with Vernon Maxwell in that way, especially because of that time period.
But isn't it nice to be on this side? Like, you're now the team that can go, that can make guys, you know, avid, ardent Red Sox fans just slam their laptop shut when you beat them. You can now go to Yankee Stadium and not even blink in the postseason and just wreck the great New York Yankees. You can beat the Dodgers and pull the Dodgers hate the Astros. Like, the Astros are now that team. They're now that, whatever, it's Steelers or Lakers or Warriors or Utah Jazz. They're the team that just want to, that you just hate.
Yeah, the cool thing about it, though, like, let's say in the next 20 years, like 20 years after today, people going to be talking about how good this Astros team was and how much they hated them. Just like
100%.
Like right now with the Patriots. Everybody hate the Patriots, but years later, we going to talk about, like, man, that was a dynasty. Yeah. That dude was a bad mofo.
What will be fun, though, is, like, I think time ends up being nice in this regard, is that it allows you to get over some of, like, some of the pain and the hurt, because, sometimes you'd be like, man, I hated that dude. But he was kind of nice, though. Like, now I can admit that. And I'll be interested to see, like, how some of those acknowledgments happen in, like, the 10 or 20 years you talk about. Yeah. About Altuve, about Bregman, about some of the various guys that we're talking about during this time.
That's how I am with those old Lakers teams.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, come on.
You know? That's how I am with the Warriors. Yeah. Like, as much as I hate Curry, but that dude is a bad mofo, man. I'm going to tell my grandkids, like, man, nobody was a better shooter than Steph Curry. I couldn't stand him. Yeah. I was kind of like that with the Lakers, too, even with Kobe. Yeah. Like, rest in peace to Kobe, but I couldn't stand Kobe Bryant because he was that good, man.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting. From 979, they throw up, they said they think that they need, I'm guessing the Astros is what they're talking about, need one more to be a dynasty. Right now, it's just a great run.
Well,
that's tough because, like, the ultimate end goal is still, it's a results-oriented business, but how do you look past, what is it,
eight straight AFCS, man.
It's a dynasty already. I will fight. And once you get your second championship and you go to eight straight, I don't care who you are. Maybe you deserved and probably should have won in 2019 a third one, but no, it's a dynasty already. Like, there's no question
about it. Eight straight ain't nothing to sneeze at, man.
Yeah,
yeah, monopolizing, like, your entire league.
Yeah, the league is the Astros.
And even when it's not, it is, right? Yeah. Like, I think that you can absolutely get.
It's not like they got the three World Series and that's it. And no ALC, only three ALCS or four ALCS. Mm-hmm. They went to eight straight.
Yeah.
On a baseball tip, because obviously now the Astros get to be that boogeyman for others. From the 832, the Cardinals and the Braves. And I'm guessing the Cardinals.
The Braves. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, the Braves.
How could I forget the Braves? They couldn't get over any hump with the Braves.
Yeah, me being in Cleveland, lost to the Braves in the World Series. That one hurt, man.
The Braves is a good one. I can't believe I forgot. Like, they were just so irritating. Yeah. Like, so irritating.
The Cardinals of, like, the early aughts is one, because I'll be fully honest in that. Like, I was not super baseball guy when the Astros were still in the NL.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that Cardinals of that time were definitely a frustration to these Astros.
Yeah, the Braves, and plus they blew games, like, in horrible fashion to the Braves in the postseason. And that's when Bagwell and Biggio didn't show up. You know, couldn't hit anything. Oh, yeah, that's an excellent one right there. But that's more localized. I'm talking about, like, on a national perspective.
Oh, I think that it's almost more fun localized because, like Utah, right? Utah was not an incredible team.
Yeah.
And nationally, there wouldn't be people that Andre Kirilenko, he's a... No, but me personally, like, I got a vendetta for... I have a reason. I'm not going to say for no good reason. But, like, I'm sure there's other people looking that are like, why do you care?
Yeah.
And I... Because
they ruined my night.
T-Mac should have had more. Yeah. He deserved more.
Yeah.
And the stupid Utah Jazz stood in his way.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget them for that. So there you go. Are any more that you're seeing on folks? This 713 said they had no respect for the Braves, though. Pitchers were given 3 feet outside. See, that's how you know that they were that team.
You are lying. Because you knew they were just painting the zone, man.
Because
they were just painting the zone.
That's when you start, with all due respect, lying to yourself. And you're like, oh, man, they cheating, man. They got to be cheating because ain't no way.
Actually, that whole Lakers thing from my high school years, and I know it can translate in different generations, that's where I came up with the idea of Laker bounces. Like, I often call, like, you know how good teams would it, somehow the ball falls in their hands, you know, or they get a fumble or whatever. I used to call them Lakers bounces because you're in a close game. You're in a close game. All of a sudden, there's this crazy high bounce. Kareem gets it or Magic gets it, and they hit the game-winning shot. It's like those damn Laker bounce. Like, it's not a Laker bounce. It's not a bounce of the ball. It's because they're so damn good that they find a way, just like the Astros. You know, that's how we're kind of bringing it full circle.
Yeah, and speaking of the Astros and the killer mentality, they add another killer, the notorious Justin Verlander, back tomorrow on the mound, getting into the six-man rotation for the Astros. And we'll have an opportunity to watch as we'll be out in out on Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks, I-10 and Kirkwood.
Yeah, so we'll be hanging out there and there'll be some giveaway items.
We got some good stuff to give away.
I'm trying to remember.
Got a Will Anderson jersey?
Yeah, Will Anderson jersey. I think that there is a signed football as well involved there.
Mm-hmm.
There's some things, man. So you want to come out, hang out with the fellas in the loop, 10 to 2 at Twin Peaks on I-10, just right by Kirkwood.
Yeah, come say hello to Reginald and myself.
You can come say hi to me. Yeah. I would appreciate that. Always enjoy getting to meet the people. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Thanks for hanging out with us. Coming up next, we get into Figgy's mixtape.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is. Figgy Fig holding it down live on Sports Radio 610 on a Tuesday. And look, first of all, I got to say rest in peace to Phil Donahue.
Yeah.
Passed away at the age of 88. Legend in the game. I didn't realize how long he'd been around, man.
Mm-hmm.
So my introduction to him was in the 90s when he had that talk show.
Yeah.
He used to have all those crazy people on there, just random topics. And the one I ran across was Two Live Crew on there randomly. I'm like, is that Uncle Luke?
Yeah.
That is wild.
And so the whole topic was about just, I guess, sex into, like,
in the
music videos and stuff like that.
Because Uncle Luke is a wild boy.
Yeah,
were doing, I mean, stuff that even if you play it now, you're like, yeah, y'all doing a lot.
Yeah. So I was just kind of going through it, and I realized, man, this is theme song, by the way.
Yeah.
They don't make TV shows like TV talk shows like this no more, man.
We don't have theme songs just generally.
You gotta have a good theme song.
We don't really do theme songs.
You gotta have a good theme song. Like the 80s comedies and stuff.
Yeah, like I feel like the art of the theme song is gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like get right to it and that's it. But rest in peace to him. But speaking of relationship stuff, man, I kind of want to get your opinions on a couple things, man. So one of my favorite things I love when people give advice.
Yeah.
And it seemed like when it comes to relationships, everybody's an expert.
What's the best advice? Good advice or bad advice? Like if it's not being given to you, right? Obviously, you want good advice. But like if you just see someone giving advice, what's more fun? Someone giving like really good advice or somebody giving really
more fun advice? Is bad advice. I mean, there is no question, right? If you're an onlooker?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, no, and see that, and that's where I'm getting that.
Okay,
so,
excellent.
Yeah, so when people just, as soon as you bring up relationships, it happened on this show where Lopez might be like, no, you got to do this for your anniversary. Yeah. This is the right way to do it. Everybody make it seem like it's a fact. Like, this is the best way to do it. So I came across some clips. I'm going to call this guy the guy on TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so
all right.
He had some advice, and he gave the lady some advice on red flags in a guy. And I want to see...
Red flags.
Okay. When it comes to a guy trying to pursue a woman.
Oh, this is going
to
be good.
So I want to know if he's spitting facts or is it like, nah, this dude don't know what he's talking about.
All right.
I didn't want to be the person to say this, but ladies, if a dude been pursuing you for years or a long ass time, just don't talk to him. Especially if he's been pursuing you and you've been curving him, don't talk to him. Because the remix is going to be diabolical. You may not recover from it. Like, dudes who be chasing y'all for the longest and y'all diss them or y'all don't pay them no mind, y'all don't give them no chance, they are leveling up. Like, that diabolical switch up is going to be crazy. Yeah. You're going to go in there thinking like, oh, I think because they wanted me for a long time, they're going to really come in there and be serious and genuine with me. You know, they finna humble you in the worst way possible. They gonna humble you so bad you legit may not recover. You may resort to some type of substance. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, because they're plotting on you. Like, oh, you think you all there? Yeah, don't worry about it. And then boom. Well, how could he treat me like that? He wanted me first. Yeah, that was the point. And you didn't want him when he wanted you. So now he gotta show you're not all that. I'm telling y'all not gonna listen to me though.
Now, is this good advice that he's giving the ladies out there when it comes to guys that's like constantly pursuing?
Who hurt you? That was my first thought. Actually, my actual first thought was, is he in the car right now?
He actually was in the car.
And the second thought was like, it's quite possible it's not. But my first thought was, this sounds like a dude who is saying, hey, but them other people are going to do this, when he's like, there's one woman in particular that if she does, in fact, spin the block, I am going to hurt her.
Yeah.
Because hurt people hurt people. And so, but that being said, I think there's a little bit of a validity in here.
My first thought was, this really depends.
Sure.
Like if it's someone you have a good relationship with, but it just doesn't go there, you know, it's kind of like When Harry Met Sally kind of thing. And then all of a sudden it goes there. That's cool. But if you're like, you know, trying to hammer away at this person, that's a red flag.
Yeah,
that's a red flag.
And look, I agree with that. I do think it depends the situation, mm-hmm. but to me, like me personally, if I keep getting dissed by this girl and she ain't giving me no time of day,
yeah.
I'm gonna move on.
Yes.
And I feel like at that point where I know it ain't about to be anything, it's just unhealthy for anybody to just keep going forward
sure.
like that.
Right. Yeah. Now, I think it sounds like he's trying to position it as they're going to dog you like intentionally. I do think, though, is like yo, if that person has been sitting there waiting, like there's probably some level of lack of health in there. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't
yeah.
feel like that's going to be necessarily the grounds for a healthy relationship. Although, to be fair, we've seen all sorts of success stories in mm-hmm. that way where it was like, yeah, we was just friends, or I was trying to holler for a long time, and then eventually, boom, 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 now we married. And see,
that was the ingredients back in the day. Back in the day, remember, you could hear the R&B songs, like, guys used to beg for a girl, yeah, man.
We were begging.
Yeah, listen to the, it go way back to the Temptations.
Oh, where yeah, you're telling who you're talking to.
Yeah, I'm begging this girl for love.
Yeah, I think generally speaking, red flag. Generally okay. speaking.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
All right. So audio number two. So rapper Latto and her sister were doing some type of little podcast or something like that. And they were talking about red flags when it comes to men. Mm-hmm. So I want to get you guys' thoughts on this.
Red flag in a partner.
Jealousy is a big one for me. Like, it's overly jealous. Because it's like, I can't control.
I ain't gonna lie, my man very jealous. We very controlling.
Okay.
You know what? But to each his own. To each his own.
To each his own, for real. But my personality type cannot handle it.
Me, I'm gonna say sassiness. I can't do no sassy, man.
What do you consider sassy?
Like, arguing back with me.
Oh, that's like, yeah.
A man that's like, very you know what, for real, and we be getting on somebody about this,
yeah.
like arguing with me in public, like just
oh,
let me
that's
have
a
it.
Great one, because like, I've had somebody do that to me before.
If I say something that you're not really a fan of, like, you can talk to me about that later. Like, don't.
Yeah, I think it's a respecting. Like, you should always like show your respect
because it's just so. Like, yeah, is you my man or my.
Okay. All right.
Excellent. Do these ladies have a point?
There's a lot to unpack there.
There's a lot
to unpack there. Go ahead.
Good for them for knowing themselves. Yeah. Though. Like, hey, man, this don't work.
I can't
for
do
me
no
personally.
Sassy, man.
Dude, when I heard her say that, I said, you are the red flag. For talking about red flags for men, women, that is a red flag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, if this highlights anything,
yeah.
ladies and gentlemen, is the idea that. What do women like? Anything. Like, there is a woman that likes something about it, right? She's like, I don't want no arguing. No, I want some arguing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Think for yourself.
It's just funny how she phrased, like, being a sassy man is arguing back.
Yes. That's why I said, you're the problem.
Yeah.
You're the problem.
I know them fights are crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
In her household.
Oh, man. Yeah, so this third clip, I'm going to make it a little more cool. So,
okay.
Michael Irvin, NFL Hall of Famer, he was talking to some fans. I want to say it was during the NFL Hall of Fame mm-hmm. ceremonies yeah. and all that stuff. But he gave some advice, not really advice, but he pretty much said the single life ain't all what it cracked up to be.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to tell you how good that single life is.
Okay, okay.
They only tell you about the good nights that they have out. They ain't tell you about the lonely life. Hey, and then you came home and the crickets are back.
Yes,
you see what I'm saying?
That's real.
So listen, all great men have to mitigate the kid in him so it doesn't mess up the king in him so he can reach his destiny and not get lost in his history. Bless him. So in order to reach that destiny, do. If we all be honest, we need a good thing. We need something to say, come home. No, we won't go home if we don't have somebody to say,
I love Mike so much because Mike can't just have a conversation. If it goes long enough, he will be preaching.
Yeah.
As a son of a preacher, man, you know, as he started getting into, if you just slid in a little bit of piano right there, he'd have been right in his bag.
You heard somebody in the background say, wow.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, in some ways, he also was preaching, right?
Yeah. So the gist of it, basically, because some of it with the background noise I couldn't make out, but the gist of it is, it ain't all that's cracked up to
Yeah. Being out here in these streets, you get to see the highlights. But if you see the full all 22, what you will know is that there are some trials and tribulations that you go through for the highlights.
It's feast or famine.
Yeah, don't. Exactly.
It's feast or famine.
Exactly.
Like it's like, wow, it's so cool being single, and I'm obviously haven't been in a long time, but I mean, it's like so cool.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, what do you go, weeks, and you're like, damn, I gotta do something with myself.
Yep. It's funny because I'm a married guy, been with my wife since 2009.
Yeah,
but some of the stuff I kind of wish I was single for is like some silly stuff, because I'd be like, man, if I was single, I have a nice little bachelor pad. I have like a studio in the living room, just little stuff that is no way in hell I can do as a married man.
Exactly. You're not making a walk.
Yeah. Or even like going out to eat. Sometimes I'll be wanting to go get something and I'll be like, give me a nice little $20 meal, $25 meal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I gotta always include her. I can't just go by myself.
Yeah, exactly.
So that $25 turned to 70.
Yep.
So those are the times I kind of wish, like, man, I wish I was kind of single, man, so I could just have to pay this $20 bill.
But he's right, man. Like, if you're gonna do that, you got to consider like all parts of it, right? And I think that stretches further than just the single life. Like with anything, don't just consider the positives.
No, absolutely.
Okay, take account in the negatives. So shout out to the preacher man Michael Irvin. Also, that's a man who clearly speaking from some level of experience. Like, hey, it's not all it's cracked up to be, the gentleman.
Yeah.
All right, so I got one more story. So I don't know if you guys know, but J-Lo and Ben Affleck are done. Mm-hmm. They got a divorce.
Really?
Yeah, that's it.
Already?
Already.
Yeah, second time, I think.
Okay,
I can't remember if they was married the first time, but the second time, they actually got a divorce. He was the one that actually divorced her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ran across an article, and he pretty much said I guess them being married, it was, so I guess Ben Affleck been sober for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And so being with her was putting that at risk.
Wow.
So he said it was best for him to divorce her.
If that's true. Yeah.
But apparently online, man, he was getting slaughtered for this.
Oh, God.
So you had the people that are saying you knew who she was before you got with her, and you know the celebrity lifestyle, why you get back with her then, da 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 da. So it kind of got me thinking, what was a time where you kind of, I don't want to make it just like a personal relationship mm-hmm. thing, but somebody you was cool with, you met for the first time, and they was kind of doing some wild stuff that you like, you know what, ain't no problem with that. But then eventually that became a problem. So like example, like if you go into a club and you meet a girl that was the life of the party.
Yeah.
You get with her. You like, yeah, you know, this girl cool. But eventually you was like, man, this girl party too much, man. I don't need somebody like that. She always drinking. She always going out. So have you guys ever been in a situation where you like, man, this person, like, it was cool at first, but now I got to separate myself
for
that saying.
We all have that person, right?
Yeah.
We all have that person.
Yeah, I mean,
let me go back to the J-Lo thing, first of all.
Okay, very good.
Because it's like all these people that are like, oh, you knew that lifestyle. You knew what she was like. Have you seen J-Lo?
Okay, all right.
I mean, are we being honest?
You got to double back, man.
Have you seen her? Have you ever laid eyes on her? Because she could be like, I don't know. The worst of the worst in any realm. And guarantee you, it'd be like, well, she's pretty good looking.
And sometimes, you got to double back. Be like, maybe I can roll with
her.
This.
I'll fix her.
I did that a couple
times. We're different people now.
Yeah,
fix her. Maybe it works now.
Yeah. Maybe I could handle this.
Yeah.
And when you get in, you're like, nah.
But what about you with like that? What he's talking about?
I'm sure that I have, but one thing about me is I feel like I'm a pretty good judge of character. Mm-hmm. Like, of course, that's something that, you know, people that sometimes are not pretty good judges of character might say.
Yeah.
But yeah, not, I've been fortunate to meet a lot of good people, and the people that feel like, oh, that's a lot.
Yeah.
I don't end up spending a lot of time with, because I'm already lazy to begin with. Like, I'm a homebody. So it's like, yo, let's go. I'm like, that sound like a problem. I don't know if I want to go.
Yeah,
do that.
I got a couple examples I just want to throw out.
Yeah,
okay, please.
So, what about that one friend that you or somebody you meet and they kind of vent to you a little bit about their problems and all that stuff? And you like, all right, you know.
Oh, the complainer.
Yeah.
But then eventually, every time you talk to this person, they're always complaining about something.
That's
where you're like, man, I don't even want to take this person call because I know they're going to complain about something.
Yes. Ding, ding, ding on that. That's the answer for me.
Definitely those.
Yeah. I got another one.
Eventually, you might have to tell them about themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got another one. That one always trying to get into a fight.
That I had a buddy like that.
So at first, it's like, all right, cool. I see you trying to defend himself. But eventually, every time you go out, he always picking the fight where you like, man, bro, why you out here trying to fight?
Not
man?
As an adult, but in high school.
College for me.
Definitely had a friend like that, and it's like, hey man, we sit him down. You just had to talk. Like, look, I want you to understand. You expecting all this backup?
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons why people get mad at me. They're like, oh man, you're my friend. Like, no matter what, you jumping in. I'm like, nah, I gotta find out. Did you earn this ass whooping?
Yeah.
If you did, you take what you got.
Yeah, you're on your
own. If not, we can go scrap it out if we need to.
Now, what about real quick, I got a couple more. What about the person that always, like, when you first meet them, they might gossip a little bit. You might get a little messy too, like, oh, what happened?
Yeah.
But eventually, every time you see this person is always gossiping, where you be like, oh my God, man. Like, damn.
Just in general.
Why are you always talking smack?
Just in general. If you're talking about a lot of people, if you're gossiping, if you're complaining about this job or that, that's another one that kind of fits in that category. Oh, my job this today. Oh, my job that. I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to be involved with anyone who vents about everything, who gossips about everything. And I get there's going to be some.
Yeah.
Hell, we all gossip a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, but the guy or the girl that just constantly, I'm out.
What about that person that will start off asking you for something? You're like, hey, man, I'm going through some hard times. Can you loan me something?
Oh, no.
Like, all right, I got you. I understand. But now it's a regular thing. Every time they go, hey, can you give me something?
Nope.
Yeah, I ain't got it for you.
Yeah.
Like, that's it'll very quickly just be, I don't got it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are tough because if it's not somebody that you're related to, you could probably make that shift. The tough part is that often happens with, like, family.
And that complicates it
so bad because you want what's best for
then
that person.
Then you're done.
But at some point, you got to be like, no.
Yeah, then you're done.
Yeah, I constantly go through that with my family, man, because for some reason, my family think I'm balling and rich because I'm working at a radio station. So they always, I'm like, man, I'm broke as a joke right now. So I ain't got it like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's all I got, fellas, man.
Hey, yo,
biggest mistake every day at 1:20.
That's right. You'll be able to hear it again tomorrow, although Fig, you'll be in studio. We, myself and John, will be out.
Yes, sir.
I-10 at Kirkwood at Twin Peaks, address 11335 Katy Freeway. And we'll have a few things to give out. There'll be baseball on the television, so come watch. But then also, three giveaways. A Will Anderson H-Town Edition jersey.
All right.
Jalen Petrie signed football. Christian Harris signed helmet. All those things we will be giving away.
Damn, that's some good stuff, man.
It's a good haul.
That's some good stuff.
The East Drinks and Scenic Views.
You're darn right.
Also there. So we're going to have some fun. Come out and say what's up to the fellas as we hang out tomorrow out there I-10 at the Twin Peaks. But thanks for hanging out with us here in the Loop. Coming up next, let's talk about this. This time of year, there's a particular conversation that we're having, and me personally don't love. So what's your favorite, or what's your least favorite, rather, conversation that happens frequently in sports? 713-572-4610. We'll do that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reginald Atitula.
Yes, indeed. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and me, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you, getting ready to hand off to our guys, Sterner and Hughley on the drive. But before we do that, let us know, 713-572-4610. What's your least favorite, like, yearly sports topic that comes around? Because, and I hope that the people don't hate me for this, but there is one for me that is coming up, or that we're basically in the midst of
right now.
So, obviously, preseason is important, even though, you know, when it comes to the competition, the wins and losses do not matter.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, whose line is it anyway? Where it's like, the points don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Wins and losses don't matter, but ultimately, the games matter for coaches and for executives because they need to figure out who will and who won't be on the team. And
right.
So, you need to firm up what is the 53-man roster.
You're not a big fan.
I don't love it. I don't love it. Now, I say that and I recognize it is important. It's something that you will do and that, you know, it's you need to talk about.
Yeah.
However, I don't love it in part because here's the issue. We end up being very serious and in-depth about it, which you should be.
Mm-hmm.
However, we talking about man 54, man 55.
What impact are they going to have?
Rarely any, right?
Yeah.
Like, oftentimes, if the difference with your season is, oh, man, We didn't keep man 53. We kept man 54.
Yeah.
Or if we had done that, it would have shifted everything.
Yeah.
That says way more about your team and where you are than, you know, anything else. And so, yeah, the idea that this ends up being as grand as sometimes we can talk about it to be,
yeah,
ends up being a little frustrating for me. But I mean, it clearly is something that's necessary, and we do it every year
on the
shakedown.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's necessary. I like to try to pick our spots on it. Like when we get close to actual, like I saw some things today. I think today, 1 week from today, is when you cut down to 53, I believe. Or maybe it's the first cut. No, they don't do the first cut anymore.
No, yeah.
They don't do that anymore. But so I think it's a week from today. So maybe next week, you know, we'll be like, okay, you know, here's what's happening. And then it's appropriate. I kind of have like the bizarro answer to your question.
Okay.
Like you said, what's your least favorite annual sports talk? My favorite annual daily, monthly, weekly topic conversation is what most people hate.
Okay, what's that?
Astrodome.
Oh, my goodness, man. This guy will bring it up anytime.
And there's a reason for that, because it is a complete waste of space and resources. And until our dumb political and governmental and county leaders fix that, I'm going to keep talking about it.
It's an institution, though.
It's an icon. So was Yankee Stadium. Is it a bigger institution than Yankee Stadium? No.
Yes.
No.
World's Dome Stadium and all that.
Yeah. I'm the guy that people hate to hear.
Sure. I hear you on that. Yeah. Fig, is there one that comes to mind for you in that same vein of just like, all right, look, we'll do it, but I'm not happy about it.
For me, and people probably going to get upset about this, but when we start rookie mini camp, like, look, and I totally get it. I'm totally fine with going out there seeing these rookies for the first time. And,
yeah,
you know,
it's
the first bit of football you'll see. But people be trying to break it down like, yeah, no, he's going to be the starter this year. And, oh, all these people look good. It's like, all right, man, they competing against wind.
Yeah.
Everybody look good.
Yeah.
Who look bad in rookie minicamp that's not a quarterback?
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is, I think, a factor of you just got them. It's the new toys of sorts. And you're just like, man, we really want to see what we got in and what we have in them. And it ends up being very useful.
I get that one.
Yeah.
It is a little irritating sometimes.
Yeah. Like, I'm good with seeing them for the first time and like, oh, yeah, we out there and, you know, the season is upon us type deal. But like, we don't need to be breaking down what so-and-so did on this route and all this stuff, man. Come on, man.
How do you guys feel? Because multiple people text us in, and it's not really tied to a time itself, but you know it's going to run back around. LeBron versus Jordan, greatest of all time conversations.
So over it.
I think we're done with
this,
man.
So over it.
Especially because it's a conversation where we're doing it just to do it. And I feel like that ends up being a marker of a lot of these types of conversations.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing it just to do it. Because a lot of the people, I don't know that there are any independents in this, right? To, I guess, bring it to a political place.
Exactly.
Everybody's largely decided on where they are. And I don't know that we're shifting hearts and minds. We're just doing it to do
it. Much like the election, to keep your point, you already know how you're going to vote, so why are we arguing about it?
Yeah. You know? I add something that's similar to this is the whole Kendrick Lamar versus Drake thing.
Yeah, that's also insane,
man. I'm over it, man. Like,
let them drop another song. I'll be there, though.
No, I'll be there if somebody drops some music, but I'm over the whole conversation, man, because everybody's standing their ground. You ain't going to bring nobody else to the other side, so I'm just sick of the whole conversation.
Yeah, sides have been selected there. I'm interested in this one, John, especially you being a long-term radio guy.
Mm-hmm.
There was a point in time in radio where, hey, man, we need to fill a segment. I know exactly what we're going
to. Oh, don't say Pete Rose.
We can talk about it. Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame.
God almighty. I avoided it back then.
Should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? The phone lines are open, right?
I avoided it then.
That one just ends up being a fascinating one. I do wonder, though, because somewhat different circumstances. Do you get the same feeling on on the Hall of Fame, you know,
on the Barry Bonds's and Roger Clemens's?
Yes.
To me, it's different.
Okay.
Yeah, to me, it's different. But I'm actually kind of tired of that as well, because I've already made up my mind on these, you know, and I feel like they should be in. But if you disagree, I'm not going to change your mind.
Right.
You know, they're not going to play any more games. You know, they're not going to put up any more stats, you know, to convince you. They're not going to reverse what happened in the Mitchell report. So you're either one way or the other.
Right. I'm with you there. Let's see. Some other ones, someone bringing up. I'm interested in this. From the 346, they said, I just hate, like, the whole perspective of people that are like, sports are rigged. And I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm. Like, the tough part about it for me as an individual is I try to be in a place where the officiating is going to be the officiating. Mm-hmm. There's going to be different types of mistakes, and there's going to be different things that happen within that. And you kind of just take that for what what it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes officiating is part of it, and I try so hard to not necessarily have to, you know, talk about the officiating that sometimes I might skew too far. But I feel like there's a lot of people that then skew the other way too far, where they're like, oh, yeah, you see, that happened because the league wants them to win. I'm like, what are we doing right now?
That's where I was. You just stole it from what I was about to say. I don't agree with the league wants this or the league wants that. I do think there is a lot more sports are rigged because of gambling purposes than we would want to admit.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point to make.
The whole league, oh, the NBA wants this. Oh, the NFL, that's crap. But I think there's a lot of games, probably more than we would even care to imagine, much less admit,
yeah,
that are gambling related fixed, or at least influenced.
I think that there is, yeah, but I think that the problem is there's a little bit of fairness to the idea that, hey, the NBA or this league wants this, because we know that David Stern used to have his thumb on the scale in some ways because the NBA needed this or that to grow. So I can't outright dismiss folks when they come with that, as we talk about various, you know, sports conversations that maybe you are done with. From the 713, they're like mock drafts. Just mock drafts in general.
Oh.
They were just, get me out of mock drafts.
We actually kind of just avoided that whole thing this year.
I think that this falls in line with you, like your response to my 53-man roster. Just find the time. The problem is
they're going to do it in September.
Yeah, when we get to it too early is when it ends up being an issue. But you get to it in the right time. And no, it's useful, clearly, to get a feeling of what's happening out there, especially when you get mock drafts from certain folks that you know are not just giving you, hey, this is who could help these teams, but the teams like this guy.
Yeah.
The teams have perspectives on this, because then that's honestly a sort of reporting, a sort of insight that they're giving you in to what's happening there.
The worst is right after the draft. Like, the draft weekend
way
is finished.
Way too early.
Yeah, yeah.
Way too early draft.
Way too early 2025 mock draft.
Like, all right,
come on now.
Clearly one that came up, the Astros in 2017 and cheating.
To be fair, it's old and there's no real reason to bring it up. But like you were talking about earlier, in some circles, it's still a thing until this whole, you know, generation moves on. You know,
sure.
Yeah,
what's happening, fellas?
What's good?
We got the drive. How are you?
Got that '90s throwback working.
Come on, man, it's my favorite.
Yeah, it's a great hat.
It's my favorite, man. Yeah. Solid, easy, simple.
Clint's got the throwback Astros cap on with the navy and gold. With that being the case, fellas, we were just talking about kind of like the sports conversations that come up maybe yearly or periodically that you just kind of...
When baseball All-Star break hits?
That's right.
Yeah.
That could be one of them, isn't it?
A week of baseball All-Star week, that's when you reel out the Pete Rose.
Yeah. Yep, that's one of them for sure.
Please don't get me started on that.
I'm watching that doc right now.
Oh,
how is it? I haven't gotten a chance to get to it. The Charlie Hustle?
Can't believe a word he's saying. hey, and like, you know you a real liar when everybody makes jokes about how much of you are lying, and you just laugh.
Pete, hey, look, Pete's making money off that vibe, man. Pete's that friend, you know, he's full of crap every time he opens his mouth.
Yeah.
He's funny.
It's funny.
throughout, hey, Pete, did that really happen?
Yeah, come on now.
Like, it happens. It happens throughout that.
Yeah.
Boy, you lying.
And it probably did happen, just not like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not quite like that.
And Pete cracks me up, because Pete is on my mom.
Double down, triple down.
Straight face. I didn't have Pete for that.
That's one of the deals where when Pete passes at his funeral, we're gonna find out he never knew his mom.
After birth, never knew
her. Oh man. All right. 53-man roster cut down conversation.
Yeah, that's
y'all
the one.
In on it. just generally?
I think to me there's one or two guys that are talking. You know, the whole 53 man breakdown. I know Ron can't wait to be like, hell no. the whole roster down and list all the guys. But there's probably two or three guys, especially
when
this
it's
team.
Appropriate.
Right, there's two or three guys on this team that you can have specific convos about a 53 man potential cut. That I think is juicy, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple on this squad that they're gonna be some good players that were Texans on the streets.
Yeah.
I'm not a real 40 and back on the roster type
yes.
of guy.
Yes. That's what he's talking about.
I'm not about that. I can eat 39.
There you go.
Unless it's interesting, like John mentioned.
Yeah.
Well, it's always gonna be interesting when you're listening. To these fellas.
Come on,
you're listening to KLT, KLT HD2 and Odyssey Sports Station. And let me tell you, fellas, the drive is live.
That's good, Reg. Well, Reg got
it
like a vet right there, day two.
Damn it, Ron, in the crosstalk. Lopez said something on my way in. I can't remember what it was. I wanted to skin his ass again. I can't remember what it was, man.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!